Let's begin our time in Revelation 1:17, and we're going to read verses 17 and 18 and 19. It says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you've seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen.'" And so let's pray together this morning. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that the Word of God is what changes our lives. It's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to distinguish between the joints and the marrow, and also between the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And so, Lord, as we look into this word today, I pray that it would encourage us. I pray that it would lift us up. And as we come together as a congregation remotely, the first Sunday of a brand new year, January 5th, God, I pray that you would do exceedingly abundantly above more than we could ever ask or believe in this new year that we celebrate together. And so we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So if we go back and look at Revelation 1:17, it says this. It says, "I am alive forevermore." And he tells us not to be afraid. And so there's a lot of things I think that we're afraid of in the new year that we're celebrating. Maybe you're stressed out about a work situation, or maybe you're, in a financial spot. Maybe you don't feel good in your health. Maybe you're just uncertain about what life is going to bring for 2025. But the good thing is this, that when we're in Christ, we don't have to be afraid of anything. He tells us, and these are the words of Jesus, that "I am the first and the last, and I am the living one." And so even though Jesus was crucified and he died and he ascended into heaven, he is still alive, and he's alive in you and I today. And that's why we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid of anything, because if he's alive in our lives and he's next to us, then everything that is in front of us, we can look with anticipation and optimism, because he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But he says this, he says, "I hold the keys of death, hell, and the grave," which means that he has the authority to unlock things and to lock things that need to be shut, and things that need to be opened, he can open them into our lives as well. And so as we begin this time together, I'm a little reminiscent about my own personal life, because today, January 5th, I celebrate 40 years of being a believer. It was 40 years ago today that I asked Jesus into my life. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, prophesied, and my life was completely and totally transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've never been the same since. And so this is a real real neat time for me, because 40 years is a long time, and I never thought I'd live to be this old first, but I never thought I'd be where I'm at today. And so there's a lot of memories I have about that, and I'm very thankful that the Lord called me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. But he tells us this. He says in chapter 12, verse 11 of Revelation, and I think that as we start 2025 together, I think we need to have a couple things in mind. Number one is this, that we need to be overcomers, because those who are overcomers are able to transition through life's challenges and overcome all the obstacles and things that are thrown at us and that come our way. And the way that we overcome is what chapter 12, verse 11 says. It says that they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. And so if we want to be an overcomer, if we want to thrive in 25, the way that we do that is by what verse 11 tells us. And that is, number one, is the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and that they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. And so to be an overcomer means that you get the better of something, that you gain the mastery over something by getting the better of it through over obstacles or difficulties, but also that we gain the victory and that we can conquer those things that are thrown at us. And there's two things that are noteworthy in Revelation that we can be overcomers in and through, and that is through the world and then also through our adversary, the enemy. And the scripture tells us what will happen to the enemy ultimately. And that is what John 12 says, verse 31, the time of judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. Romans 16, 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And then finally, Revelation 20, verse 10, then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so that's what the enemy has to look forward to, is destruction. But we as God's people, we don't need to be afraid of him because he knows his time is short. And he's throwing everything at us he can to discourage us and to cause us to not pick up and keep moving ahead in our calling and our destiny and what God wants us to do and the people that he wants us to be. And so be encouraged today, church. Be encouraged, Emmanuel, that God has a plan for your life. And you don't need to be afraid of the things that are coming your way through the enemy or through the spirit of this world that wants to dominate and control us and also bring fear into our lives. Listen, if Jesus is alive and he holds the keys, then there's nothing that we need to be afraid of. But how do you overcome? I think that's the question that we need to ask ourselves when we referred to that earlier. Number one is this, through the blood of the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb is not just the death of Jesus on the cross, but it's his resurrection and his ascension, and that he is alive forevermore. That he's not dead, that his blood was not just shed and then it done away with, but he's alive now in your life and in my life. And we could attribute the blood of Jesus to areas of our lives. And just like in the Old Testament, when the death angel went over in the book of Genesis, when the death angel went over the homes, when they put the blood of the Lamb on their doorpost, the death angel wasn't able to bring destruction to those homes, to the firstborn. In the same way, when we attribute the blood of Jesus to our lives, we can know and understand that his sacrifice that he made wasn't just for the past, but it's now, and it's able to be attributed to our lives in whatever we face currently. And it's that atonement that we see through his blood that's already been done. It's a finished work of the cross, that everything that he could do, he already accomplished for you and I. And so all we have to do is attribute his blood to our lives. And and his blood renders the believer pure and makes possible our spiritual victory. So we can be victorious because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, 28 says, for this is my blood which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. And then Romans 5, 8 says, for God showed his great love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And then Hebrews 9 says, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once and for all time and secured our redemption forever. And so that's for all eternity, that the finished work of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, his blood shed for you and I, that we can live in victory, that we can attribute his blood relationally to our lives, that we can anoint the doorposts of our hearts and our lives by his blood and walk securely and walk confidently, knowing that his presence is with us and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. 1 Peter 1:18 says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold and silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And so that's a relational attribute that we have. Nothing more important in our lives than the blood of Jesus. And that's how we become overcomers in this life, is attributing Jesus' blood to our lives, to our families, to our situations, to our finances, to our health, to every spiritual aspect and dilemma that we find ourselves in. We can account for God's blood, for Jesus' blood, to reckon with the works of the enemy. The second thing is, it says that they overcame them by their testimony. And we all have a testimony. We don't have a testimony without the blood of Jesus. So that's what qualifies us to even have a testimony to begin with. And this is happening as we live. We are living testimonies of God, not just for what he's done in our past and where he's brought us from, but where we're at now in our lives, what we're overcoming, what we are prevailing against, and what we are overcoming against in this life. That sets our testimony. That tells us who we are in Christ. And we are assured that we'll come through if we don't quit. And so it's not just all that he's done for us in the past, but it's what he's doing for us in the now, right now, currently. And I want you to think about that when you're at home this morning. What is God up to in your life right now? Not just where he's brought you, because many of you have come out of a lot of powerful, many of you have powerful testimonies. And I think sometimes we look at our lives and we say, well, you know, I didn't change that much when I came to Christ, or I didn't, it wasn't monumental, or it wasn't that transforming. But listen, you have as powerful a testimony as anyone else. And so never minimize what God has done in your life. Always know that no matter what you've come out of or what you've come through, that you are a witness to the faithfulness of God, to his power, to his work in your life. And if that's the case, then you can help others in their vulnerability as well. It's a personal story that we all have. And when we have a relationship with people, we can share our testimonies with them. You know, people are looking for others that are authentic in their lives. People are looking for answers these days. And if you have a relationship with people, you can share your journey with them and how God has transformed your life, how he's changed you, how you're different, and how you have a life now of meaning, how you're a person of purpose, how you're a person of calling and destiny. And what he's done for you in your life, whether you think it's significant or not, it is significant because it's helped change you and transform you into who you are right now. So think about that. Think about where you've been, where you're at, but also where you're headed. Because if God has been faithful in your past and brought you out of darkness and established you and equipped you and done those things in your life now, think about what he's up to for your future. I can tell you this, it's only good, and it's only going to be good, and it's probably better than you expect. It's probably much, much more fruitful and monumental than you can prepare for, because he's faithful. Acts 22:18 says, I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, hurry, leave Jerusalem, and the people here won't accept your testimony about me. You see, there are some people who won't accept it, but there are many who will. And so we need to look for those people that God puts in our path. And we can even pray about that. Pray that God will bring people our way for us to be able to share our testimony and tell others about the faithfulness and the goodness of God in our lives. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9 says, since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. And all who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. Listen, if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have life. And that means that you have a testimony, and you're able to share that testimony and that goodness with other people. And Revelation 12, verse 17 says, and the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. You see, that testimony is the experience that you've had in the Lord. It's what God has done in your life. And so again, I want to encourage you, never minimize how great or how small you may think it is, because the same power that it took to transform certain people's lives is the same power that maybe kept you as a young child growing up in a Christian home that never had to get into all the things that maybe not so smart people like me got into and that had to learn the hard way. Listen, if you didn't have to learn the hard way, praise God, because you don't need to apologize for that. That's a good thing. And you don't have the scars to carry through the rest of your life by the mistakes that you've made. So it took a lot of power for that to happen. And it was God's keeping power, holding you in the center in the palm of his hand. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 says, "So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news." And I want to encourage you that God's going to put people in your path. And I think for 2025, one of the things that we can look forward to, but also maybe have as a goal, is that we'll share our faith more with people that God sends us. I also want to encourage you as Spirit-filled believers to allow God to give you words of knowledge and words of wisdom for people, because that really gets their attention as well, to pray for people and to lift them up and then ultimately to share your faith with them. It's such a precious thing to be able to do, is to share with others what God has done for each one of us. And then third, it says this: they were not afraid to die. Listen, if the blood of Jesus has saved you, and if you have your testimony, then we really shouldn't be afraid to die. And I think that that's one of the last things that we have that we need to remember, that Jesus has overcome. He's overcome death, hell, and the grave. And so we don't need to be afraid of that, because he's already gone before us, and he was resurrected and ascended into heaven. And so as he's made a way for us, we don't have to be afraid as well. Of course, the great Psalm says, Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And so death is a shadow to those of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We don't need to be afraid of that. It's actually a good thing that we can look forward to. Not that we're going to hasten it by any means, but that we can look forward to what he has for us in the next life. And that's a tremendous thing. It's really going to be something that will, for eons and eons and ages of ages, we will be beside ourselves by what we look into when we get there. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. So the disciples, before they were filled with the Holy Spirit, of course, they were afraid. But when the Spirit of God came upon them and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were no longer afraid to lose their lives for the Lord. A matter of fact, they said that they were it was a privilege to be able to do that as well. Matthew 10:28 says, "Don't be afraid of these things about those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear God, fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." So the only one that we need to be afraid of in this life and with godly reverential fear is the Lord. We don't need to be afraid of any onslaught of the enemy, any force that comes against us, any world spirit that wants to try to manipulate us or control us. Jesus has a way for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his footsteps." And so if Jesus has made a way, we can definitely walk in that and follow in his footsteps. Luke 14:27 says, "And whoever does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there was enough money to finish it?" Listen, there is a cost to following the Lord, and some of us face that more than others in this life, but we should be willing to lay down our lives. A lot of people say, "Well, I'd be willing to die for Jesus. I'd be willing to give my life to him." But I think the bigger question is, are you willing to live for him? And every day, die to yourself. Die to your agenda. Die to what you think is important. And live by taking up your cross and following Jesus. And I found in my life that when I do that, he meets my needs, the things that I desired in the beginning. All those things are taken care of if I seek his kingdom first, is what John tells us. Acts 21:13 says, "But he said, 'Why are you weeping? You're breaking my heart. I'm ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but also to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus.'" And so the Apostle Paul said that. He knew what was awaiting him, but he wasn't afraid. He was able to lay down his life for the Lord. And he told us, he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so we should be willing to lay down our lives for him, but also every day to live for him as well. In conclusion, I want to leave you with something that I think will really encourage you. And this comes from the New King James Version, or the King James Version. And in the book of Revelation, we have many promises to those who overcome. And so not only we have life and life everlasting, but these this information that we have in these verses tell us what the rewards will be for those who overcome, but also I think it gives us a little window into what heaven will be like. And so let me read a few of them to you, and you can follow along with me. Revelation 2:7 says that those who overcome will be able to eat from the tree of life in paradise. Revelation 2:10, that we will receive a crown of life. Revelation 2:11, and that we won't have to suffer the second death. Revelation 2:17, we'll be able to eat some of the hidden manna and also receive a new name. Revelation 2:26, that we'll have authority and power over the nations. Revelation 3:5, that we'll be clothed in a white garment and that he won't blot our names out of the book of life. Revelation 3:12, that we'll be made a pillar in God's temple. Revelation 3:21, that we'll be able to rule with Christ, that we'll have rulership. And then finally, Revelation 21:7, that we'll receive an eternal inheritance with him. And so all of these promises are for those who overcome. And if we're going to thrive in 25, we got to remember those three things. Number one, that we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. Number two, that we all have a testimony, that we all have something that we can share and something that we can offer to the world, to those that God brings in our path, those that are hurting, those that are without, those that are searching. And then finally, that we're not afraid to die. We're willing to lay down our lives for him. And if we do that, and if we are found faithful and true, like I know each one of us will be found, then we'll receive all the blessings and all the goodness for those that are reserved who overcome, which I know that you are as well as I am.